Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
The deadline for enrolling to vote in local elections and nominations for candidates closed last week, with last-minute pushes across the country to make sure as many seats as possible were being contested. There were concerns from the Electoral Commission and local councils across the country that some seats might go uncontested or only have one person running. I wanted to understand what the state of local democracy is in Auckland and whether the council is doing enough to make sure it is healthy and thriving. Also in today's discussion is a conversation about regional deals. Recently, Auckland Council signed a memorandum of understanding with the government in order to begin negotiating a regional deal. I wanted to understand what a regional deal is and what it can do for Auckland, especially as recent unemployment and homelessness figures suggest that our city has been hit hardest by the recent economic downturn.
There have been reports in Auckland, but also across the country, of some local election seats being contested by one or two people, but there was a lot of concerns that some seats wouldn't have candidates at all. Does this speak to a broader decline in local democracy?
Yeah, we sort of got there in the end. There were some real panics leading up to that final nomination period day that was going to happen. We were going to have low amounts of candidates and stuff. It kind of pulled through. I mean, we've got two ward council seats that are uncontested, but, you know, a lot of races across Auckland are actually really healthy. The Henderson Massey local ward, for example, has 29 candidates, 8 seats. So that's huge, right? So it's fallen a little bit uneven. Look, I'd say that democracy, and local democracy, I'd say, is in probably a stable state. It's not growing and it's not shrinking because, yeah, you're getting kind of this kind of thing happen every 3 years. It doesn't really move around that much in terms of the number of candidates, but we've had a little uptick this time, which is kind of cool.
You know, usually what we tend to see every 3 years is a 30% voter turnout, or around 30 to 33% voter turnout. Do you expect that number to be improved this year or stay pretty much stable? And if it's at that number, what do you think we can do to make it better?
The question of voter turnout is one for the ages, right? And we always have a lot of suggestions and opinions. And you know, obviously, I'm always open to kind of boosting that. But it seems kind of stuck a little bit around that one-third of the city-ish. That's been since the city amalgamation. It's hovered anywhere between sort of 32 to 40. One of the big drivers of voter turnout is a contested mayoral election. So when you've got one like Banks versus Len Brown in 2010, that was a huge one, and that sort of encouraged huge amounts of turnout. And I think it's getting the public's awareness that actually council elections are a really big deal. They run the city and they do a lot of really important stuff that affects your day-to-day life. But actually a sense that there's a contest of ideas as well, that there are people out there that will draw the rates higher or lower and the levels of service higher or lower, these kind of things. And it's actually kind of hard to get that information to voters. So, you know, I'm not sure that the methods of how to do that. It would be really great if I did know, but if we can get a sense within the community that you've got these challenges and difficulties and different opinions about things, that drives voter turnout up. So any ways to do that, I think that would be a really good idea. And, you know, it's a little bit above my pay grade, but we can all have a good yarn about it and see where we can get to in the future.
A lot of people don't tend to vote because they don't see themselves represented or they don't understand the importance of council. Is council doing a lot of work around educating people, you know, putting civics education into our community?
Yeah, it's an excellent point there. And that is another really good driver. I agree that people need to see themselves represented and within their representatives and their candidates. So getting more diverse candidates, younger people, things like that, that's really, really important. Council has been doing some civics education stuff and working with, even at like a high school level, sort of educating people about what council does and that you can actually run for elections and vote in elections at the very least to decide the future of your community. So yeah, council has been doing more and more in this space every 3 years, and I think the high school programs that they've been doing recently have been really great and really effective. So we'll see the effects of that as the generations move forward, but I'd encourage more and more diverse representation in any ways that we can get to that. I'm really up for that conversation.
So walk me through what a regional deal is. How does that change the council funding model overall in terms of what it can do?
Yeah, it's a great point there, is that, yeah, there has been this talk about the 3 R's, rates, rubbish and roads. And it's not unique to this government. I think having a crack at local government has been a favourite pastime of central governments going all the way back since Adam was a boy. But yeah, that kind of rhetoric I think is really tough. It's tough to hear because, you know, we have a democratic mandate to allow and help our city to thrive. And that's in terms of people's quality of life, in terms of their transport, in terms of parks and playgrounds, all manner of things, right, that touch your life. The regional deal is kind of a way to manifest that as a partnership between central government and local government. So it's to try and get strategic alignment over the generations, right? So I'm not taking politics out of it because I'm not really a fan of that. I think people need a democratic mandate to do the things they do. But at the same time, giving a steer to the community that we're going to be working on, you know, projects and directions over the coming years together as central and local government and actually funding that. Where that is right now is that there's a memorandum of understanding signed. We passed that off recently, and the negotiating will begin on terms of what that deal actually looks like. But it's a tool that's used across the world, and excited to kind of bring that to Auckland.
So in your mind, what do you envision this deal including?
Yeah, I think, for me personally, I think a focus on economic development is absolutely crucial for our city. If you look at things like tourism, Auckland actually gets lower funding than everywhere else per capita. And we have, you know, anyone that lives here, we all do, we know just how fantastic and wonderful it is to actually visit here. We've got so many amazing attractions. And yet that industry really needs investment and it needs help from central government. So, you know, that's just an example. Speaking of the Westie here, our screen industry as well, strengths to strengths, and the more we can partner in that one as well. So providing local jobs for Aucklanders. And then there's bigger issues around infrastructure pipelines. So talking about providing the amount of housing that we need, where we need it, and also things like massive pipes that the houses need, and the transport infrastructure, not just massive roads, but actually proper alternatives for transport. These are the kind of things we need to be talking about. So that's all going to be under negotiation, and I'm excited to hear how that plays out.
One really interesting thing, or sort of bad faith argument, I suppose, is in a lot of other countries where regional deals happen, like France, it's sort of done as a proportion of GDP. Like Auckland produces a certain amount of GDP, therefore they get a certain amount of money, or that's the value of their regional deal. Now, what do you say to people across this country who will probably be like, why do I, as a Christchurch taxpayer or Dunedin taxpayer, have to fund Auckland's hopes and dreams?
I love that question. Yeah, we get about 38% of the GDP as produced by Auckland. That's actually above our population level. And you'll find that in a lot of cases, Auckland helps pay the bills for the rest of the country. And, you know, there'll be people that'll be mad at me for saying that, especially Crusaders fans, I'm sure. But look, we have this is the financial capital of the country, for example. We have corporate offices here that serve the regions that are based in Auckland, right? And, you know, for example, the tourism industry and places like the Waikato, et cetera, rely upon the promotion that the screen industry does in Auckland to get it to thrive. So, you know, it is a relationship where, you know, there's some give and take and we all cross-subsidise each other across the country. I mean, my taxes also pay for roads in Southland and I don't complain about that either. So, look, I think that there is a little bit of anti-Auckland bias sometimes out there, but I think that's historical. I think people are really understanding now that this is the economic engine room of the country, and when Auckland succeeds, Aotearoa succeeds.
That was Councillor Shane Henderson on local democracy and regional deals.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Councilling on 95 BFM.